Glory to God. Hallelujah. All is well. We are abiding in peace in Jesus' name. Good evening, good evening, good evening. There are a couple of things I want to put you in remembrance of. We have a word from our apostle during this time, and that word is all is well. Abide in peace. One of the things that Apostle did send out, and he said he wanted us to read Psalm 91 and Psalm 46 on a daily basis and to pray those Psalms. So if you have not been reading and praying Psalm 91 and Psalm 46, I encourage, admonish you to do so. As you will recall, in class, we read and we prayed Psalm 91. So we are encouraging you to do that in your own personal, private prayer time. Follow instructions. Amen. Glory to God. What I'd like for us to do, we're going to try to finish our lesson on prayer and spiritual warfare. That's my goal. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, giving you honor and glory and praise and blessing and thanksgiving. We are so thankful. We're so grateful. Father, we appreciate all your goodness, all your love, all your mercy that you have shown towards us. We're so thankful for the Lord Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, his name, his blood. And how we thank you, Lord God, for the precious Holy Spirit who is ever present to help us, to teach us, to show us, to guide us. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you, Lord God, for understanding, and we thank you for opening our ears that we can hear, opening our eyes that we can see, and opening our hearts that we can understand. We give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise, the blessing, and the thanksgiving for it all. Now, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, I do acknowledge you, invite you, welcome you, and asking you to help us tonight. Help us to see what it is that the Father wants us to see. Help us to do what it is that he wants us to do at this time. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. There are two scriptures that we're going to be looking at. Last week at the end of class, one of your classmates gave a scripture, 2 Chronicles 20:20. And he said, that's the 2 Chronicles 20:20. And I proceeded to go ahead and share with him other verses in 2 Chronicles 20 that I really, really liked. What we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and we're going to read what I'm calling our foundational scripture in Ephesians 6. And then we're going to look at 2 Chronicles 20. I'm going to read, I want you to read with me. Ephesians 6, and we're going to read verses 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. Prayer and spiritual warfare. Glory to God. Over in 2 Chronicles 20. And most of you are familiar with this account. This is Jehoshaphat when the armies came against him. I think it was five armies came against him. Jehoshaphat prayed, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon the man of God, and Jehoshaphat received an answer. And I want you to hear a part of his prayer. He 2 Chronicles 20 and 12. O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Amen. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Amen. Verse 15, and this is after Jehaziel receives a word from God. And this is what he says in verse 15. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. Tomorrow go ye down against them, giving them instructions. Amen. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, amen, glory to God, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And then we go down to the verse 20. And they followed instructions, glory to God. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Amen. Believe his prophets. Believe his apostles, so shall you win. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now let's go on and let's see what our author has to say to us concerning prayer and spiritual warfare. On last week, we left off and I said, prayer and supplication must supplement the armor of God, and the armor of God that we read about in Ephesians chapter 6. The Holy Spirit, our author says, must aid the supplication with his own strenuous plea. And the soldier, that's what he likens the Christian to, must pray in the spirit or pray in tongues. Watchfulness and perseverance must mark every activity of the Christian warrior. Amen. And we're going to look at that verse in a few minutes that says watch and pray. I know in the past we have looked at Habakkuk 2 where, you know, he says, I will stand up on my watch and set me up on the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. I don't know if you remember that. But he's talking about here praying and watching, or watching and praying. The soldier's prayer must reflect his profound, this is important, glory to God. The soldier's prayer must reflect his profound concern for the success and well-being of the whole army. Amen. That's what our author says, the whole army. The battle is not altogether a personal matter. Victory cannot be achieved for self alone. The cause of God, his saints, their woes and trials, their duties and crosses, all should find a pleading voice in the Christian soldier when he prays. Then he goes on and he says, nothing dries up spiritual blessings so certainly and completely. Nothing poisons the fountain of spiritual life so effectively, and nothing acts in such deadly fashion as selfish praying. Amen. Do y'all hear that? Selfish praying. Praying for me, my foe, and no more. No, that's not what the Christian soldier is called to do. Let's go back. He says, we are called to pray for the cause of God. Amen. We are called to pray for the saints and their woes and trials, their duties and crosses. You know, these are the things that we should be praying for as Christian soldiers. Think about visions. Think about missions. Think about the kingdom of God. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Yeah, this is what we are to be praying for, not just for our own personal agenda. The Christian armor, our author says, will avail him nothing unless prayer is added. You can't just put the armor on and say, I got the armor on, and then don't pray. And then you want to pray with the armor. Glory. Hallelujah. God's true soldier plans his campaign, arranges his battle forces, and conducts his conflicts with prayer. All of this is done with prayer. Planning your campaign, arranging your battle forces, and conducting your conflicts. Prayer is all important and essential to victory. The Christian soldier is compelled to constant guard duty. You must be on guard at all times. He is faced by a foe who never sleeps, who is always alert, and who is ever prepared to take advantage of the fortunes of war. See, our enemy, he's always alert. He's going to do his job. He goes on and he says, watchfulness is a fundamental principle with crisis warrior. Watchfulness. And then he quotes, watch and pray. This is found in Matthew 26:41. He cannot dare to be asleep at his post. Such a lapse brings not only displeasure, the displeasure of the captain of his salvation, but it also exposes him to added danger. You know, when you're not alert, when you're not watchful, when you're asleep, you know, not only is it a displeasure to your captain or the captain of your salvation, but it also exposes you, and believe it or not, your comrades, to danger. In the New Testament, our author writes, there are three different words that are translated watch. Number one, the first means absence of sleep and implies a wakeful frame of mind as opposed to listlessness. It is a command to keep awake, attentive, and vigilant. Keep awake, attentive, and vigilant. The second word means, this is a meaning for watch, fully awake, a state induced by some rousing, active, cautious effort, less through carelessness, amen, or laziness, some destructive calamity should suddenly evolve. The third word means to be calm and collected in spirit. Watch. Calm and collected in spirit. Unemotional, untouched by confusing circumstances, cautious against all pitfalls and diversions. I made a little note there and I put peace. Amen. That's the meaning of the third definition of the word watch. He says two of them are used in connection with prayer. Watchfulness intensified is a necessity of prayer. Watchfulness must guard and cover the whole spiritual man and prepare him for prayer. Everything resembling unpreparedness or non-vigilance, our author says, can be called death to prayer. If you're not watchful, you know, when you're praying, you know, this is called unpreparedness or non-vigilance, and could cause death to your prayer. Sleepless alertness is the price one must pay for victory over his spiritual foes. Sleepless alertness. Rest assured, the devil never falls asleep. Amen. He ever walketh about, as the scripture says, seeking whom he may devour. That's 1 Peter 5 and 8. The inseparable companions and safeguards of prayer are vigilance, and you know, I liken that word vigilance to perseverance, and watchfulness. You want to be able to persevere and to be watchful. Colossians 4 and 2 says, continue in prayer, be vigilant, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Amen. Hallelujah. God's church is a militant host, our author says. Its warfare is with unseen forces of evil. God's people compose an army fighting. Now, this is important. Glory to God. God's people compose an army fighting to establish his kingdom in the earth. Talking about establishing the kingdom of God in the earth. And that's what our fight is all about. Amen. And you remember, I told you that we are called to fight the good fight of faith. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to see that. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Glory to God. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. And there it is. Fight the good fight of faith. That's the fight that we're called to fight, the fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. And you know, years ago, I remember Apostle telling us, yeah, it's a good fight because we win. Amen? Amen. So, you know, the author is going on and he's telling us, we are fighting, remember, to establish God's kingdom in the earth. We're fighting this good fight of faith. He says, their aim, or our aim, is to destroy the sovereignty of Satan and over all its ruins, erect the kingdom of God. And then he goes on and he talks about, you know, the kingdom of God, and we've read this before, Romans 14, 17, righteousness. Well, let me go. Romans 14, hallelujah. Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Over in 1 Corinthians 4 and 2, we find, hold on, let's see, oh, I'm sorry, 20, 4 and 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So, you know, this is what, you know, we as Christians, are citizens of the kingdom of God, this is what we're fighting to establish. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost, and power. The armor of God is needed for defense. An added prayer crowns the entire army. Our author says the entire life of a Christian soldier, its being, its intention, implication, and action are all dependent on its being a life of prayer. We must pray. Without prayer, our author says, no matter what else he has, and I had a little note over here, no matter what gifts, no matter what talents he has, without prayer, the Christian soldier's life will be feeble and ineffective. Glory to God. Without prayer, the Christian soldier is an easy prey for his spiritual enemies. Man, he gives us a whole list. Without prayer, the Christian graces will wither and die. Without prayer, we may add, my man, and this one here was hard too. Without prayer, we may add preaching. I'm talking about the preaching of the gospel is futile and fruitless. And I had a little note here. Pastors, amen. Without prayer, preaching is futile and fruitless. Then he goes on and he comes like to the end of the lesson. And he says, Christ is the lawgiver of prayer, and Paul is his apostle of prayer. Their prayer directions cover all places, include all times, and comprehend all things. Amen. And I thought this was so important because our author said so much, in here. We have to understand that, you know, when we're praying, like one of the first things was, it's not just all about us. Yeah, we pray for ourselves, but we also must understand the purpose and the plan of God. We must understand that we're praying for the kingdom of God as soldiers, amen. As soldiers of the Most High God, as citizens of the kingdom of God. And, you know, I thought that was just so important for our author to point that out. And he calls it the cause of God, the cause of God, the cause of the saints, their woes and their trials, their duties and their crosses. That's praying for the cause of God and then praying for one another. Glory to God. And then this, he makes this point. Nothing dries up spiritual blessings so certainly and so completely. Nothing poisons, remember I said that, the fountain of spiritual life so effectively. And nothing acts in such a deadly fashion as selfish praying. Then the other, another point that I want to make sure that you are aware of. And that is that we must add prayer to the armor that we read about over in Ephesians chapter 6. It's good to know about the armor and it's good to have the armor. But our author points out it is so important for us to pray. I made a little note, dressed up. If you're not praying, you're just dressed up with nowhere to go. Amen. And then, you know, he talks about watching. You know, this is so important. In prayer, we must be able to pause and hear what God is saying to us. He will speak a word. He'll give us instructions. He'll give us directions. He will exhort us. In all of this happens in prayer. And we must be watchful. Because one of the things that And I'm gonna read this scripture. One of the things that I'm noticing, even now, years ago, Apostle, taught us what the enemy means or sends for evil, God can turn it to good. And we find over in, let me get my notes. These are some scriptures that I found that seem to help me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he writes, "There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Amen. No temptation taken us, but such as is common to man. These things come. But he says, God, the Bible says, the word of God says, God is faithful. Amen. And he will always provide a means of escape for us. One of the things that I've been noticing here recently with everything that's going on, you know, what the enemy meant for evil, God is turning to good. And in prayer, and I'm watching, you know, I'm watching, I'm trying to be watchful. And I see, I can only speak for myself, in families, for the first time in a long time, families are sitting down and eating together. Now, whether they're cooking it or whether they're buying it, amen, but they have to come together because of what's going on, and they're eating together. Young people are no longer out there in the street. It is nowhere for them to go. And I see this as good, but the devil meant it for evil. But because I'm watching, and I told the Lord, I said, "Oh, thank you, Lord." I said, "I see, you know, I'm watching, I'm seeing how families are finally spending time together." You know, before this, everybody was going in their own direction. I don't know if everybody ate together, but now, you know, we're, like I said, whether we're buying it or whether we're cooking it, we're sitting down and we're eating together and we're watching television and we're trying to come up with entertainment for the family, amen, not just for the children. And this is just amazing to me, but I'm watching. You know, when we pray, we want to see, you know, and I hear apostles say this, we want to see what God is doing. We want to ask him to open up our eyes in this time. The world is always just telling us how bad it is. The other thing that I noticed, there were in our area, not far from here, there were a lot of murders, a lot of murders. And we had commented, I think over the weekend, man, I haven't heard about any murders. And I think there were two, but before all of this, I mean, there might've been 10, but glory to God, because there's nowhere for them to go, nothing for them to get into. Even the murder rate is down in that particular area. Amen. Glory to God. So, you know, again, you know, what the enemy sends for evil, God can take it and turn it to good. And then I tell you, no temptation taking us. You know, all of this is common. The other scripture that I read about fighting the good fight of faith. Then the other one I want you to look at is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. These are scriptures that Apostle has given us over the years, and these are scriptures that have been ministering to me, and I wanted to share with you because I feel at this time it can be so helpful. And it is, it's helping to build your faith, and these are scriptures that you can use as a part of your spiritual warfare armor. That's what I'm gonna call it, spiritual warfare armor. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'll start at verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh," remember, we do not war after the flesh. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," they're not fleshy, "but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. Main thing, we do not war after the flesh. Amen. We walk in the flesh, but we do not war. That's not our fight. Our fight is not a flesh fight. Our fight is in the spirit, where we have the word of God, and we must have the spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. When we fight the word and the spirit, glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. And then the Lord began to minister to me. Psalm 121. Apostle read this not long ago, and you know, I should have done a little shout. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Because it was so good. These are just scriptures that I'm sharing with you. Those of you you know, who may not be able to see them, I want you to write them down, and I want you to go back, and I want you to read these scriptures. They help to build your faith. Remember, you got to build yourself up on your most holy faith. And not only just praying, but you want to be looking at the word of God. Psalm 121, verses 7 and 8. Hallelujah. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Hallelujah. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Now, that word preserve also can mean protect. Hallelujah. The Lord shall protect thee from all evil. He shall protect thy soul. Now, you've heard enough teaching on the soul from our apostle to know that that's your thoughts, your mind, your emotions, your imaginations, your will. Remember that. Amen. The Lord shall protect thy going out, glory, 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 and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Then I had some here about he'll never forsake us. And I began over in Deuteronomy. Moses is given a charge to Joshua. Deuteronomy 31, and we're just going to read verses 6 through 8. And he says, be strong. Okay, and you know, Apostle has taught us that, you know, he's not just speaking this just to Joshua, but he's speaking it to you and he's speaking it to me also. Amen. And we read that over in Ephesians chapter 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Verse 8, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. Yes, indeed. He already know what's up ahead. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He it is that did go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not. That's what he's saying to me and you. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Amen. And then over in Joshua, we have the same words. Joshua, let's read 1 and verse 2, chapter 1. And it reads, Joshua 1, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Speaking to Joshua here. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Then we go down to verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Glory to God. That's what he's saying to us. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. There we go again. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And then our famous verse, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Glory to God. And then over in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. I think, well, you'll see. Hebrews 13, 1 through 6. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as being as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Verse 5, let your conversations be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. There's our word. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is our helper, is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. Glory to God. I am asking you to pay attention, to tuck these scriptures, to hide them in your heart, read them, and see what it is that the Holy Spirit will say to you at this time from these particular scriptures. I believe our author has given us sufficient information so that we understand now what spiritual warfare is and what it is not. As you will recall, I told you back in the day, years ago, people were putting on fatigues. They were, they were taking it from a physical standpoint and getting in airplanes and saying that they were going into the heavenlies. They were going into the spirit, and they were going to be doing warfare. I'm pretty sure they had good intentions. I'm pretty sure they had good hearts, but that's not what spiritual warfare is, and that's what it is not. Amen. Remember, the word and the spirit. Glory to God. The armor and prayer. And also remember that as a soldier, remember I read from that little song, we're in the army of the Lord, that as a soldier of Jesus Christ, we are not just concerned about our own well-being, our own welfare. We are concerned about the cause of God, and we're concerned about the people of God. We're praying for missions. We're praying for visions of God, And most of all, we want to know and we want to understand the will of God. Amen. Glory to God. Y'all be blessed. See you next time.